Hey soccer friends,
I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed.
I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is the final part with Coach Lindsay, and it talks about coaching a little bit more and gritness, which is her mental side of the game where she helps your player achieve mental toughness. And I think this is such a huge part of the game, so I won't say much more. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
I don't know where to go because my brain is going five different ways right now with this, because as a parent, I had a small window of coaching in my career as a parent, and you hit it there. It is trying to figure out how to evolve. Since my son's been playing soccer as a parent, I have literally let soccer take over my life, sometimes in detriment to other areas of my life. And as parents, we have to evolve. As parents having kids in the game, they have to evolve. And I think we as parents have to take a step back and let the coaches truly do what they're there to do. And I think too many parents think they know more than their coach. And you nailed it right on the head. I think you talked about having the clear message to the players and the clear message to everyone, and not just the players. But I think that is important, because too many parents, I've been told, are Gucci parents. They want to show their Gucci purse on Facebook, and their kids are their Gucci purse. As horrible as that as a comparison, look at my kid, they just won X, Y, and Z, or my kid just made whatever it may be. And I think as a society, we have to take a step back because it's not about us. It's about our players and where they're going and what they want to be. And I think what you're doing and trying to evolve as a coach is phenomenal, but also your mentality approaching approaching them. I think your background having the marriage and therapy side, marriage and individual therapy side, gives you a leg up on probably 99% of the coaches out there because most of them don't have that background.
Right.
But hearing this, and this is, I probably say of the last 6-7 coaches I've talked to, is becoming the common theme this year, unintentionally. It's learning how to approach the players and telling the parents, like, back off, let me do my job. If you have questions, come talk to me about it, but don't. And I'm watching sidelines more and more. I know I'm bad. My only problems, I have issues with refs because they can drastically change the outcome of a game. But that's a whole nother topic for another day. But I have learned not to yell at my son about his soccer. I have keywords I share with people. I have please. And I use a curse word with him because I feel like he's mature enough to understand the frustration. But it's play like crap. I use a curse word in there. Practice like clap, crap. You play like crap. And I say, please. And he understands what I'm saying. I know you're working, but you need to work. So you stop practicing this way and stop. And your stands for emotions affect your attitude. Your attitude affects your results. That's all I have to say to him. And BG, which is ball and ground, take your aggression out on the ball and ground. Three things. No one has to know what they mean. But he knows if I'm saying them to him, it doesn't mean anything about his soccer. It's about his head game and where it's at. And I yell ear more than anything else now because he's getting to the phase where he is doing what he thinks is right, and he's letting his emotions affect his results, and his results is how he plays. Yeah.
So I was an elite athlete my entire life. You know what my career is?
Right.
Right.
Nothing.
Nothing.
So
one thing, not one single thing. Never coached me on the sideline. Didn't check. My mom would run up and down the sideline, but never coached me, never said anything, get in the car with her. And I knew if I played well or if I didn't. She was only echoing whatever I was saying. On the rare occasion, she might confirm, yeah, it wasn't your best game, but never, you should have done this instead, or you should have done that, or why did you this, or not one time. My mom never approached a single coach except one time when I was going to quit because they kept moving me all over and I had no idea what the hell my actual role was. So
right.
You're consistently giving me feedback, but I'm in 10 different spots inside of a 20-minute period and I don't know what you expect in each role. So you know what? I'll wash my hands of this whole nonsense and be done.
So your mom never said anything. I have learned not to pick. The only thing I get on him about is his effort, because that's the only thing as a parent.
Nothing. Mom didn't even talk.
This is my problem. My wife is really good at not saying a single word. And I always ask him, like, how did you think he did? And he played in a game last night, a scrimmage. And in my opinion, he caused both goals. I didn't say a single word to him about it. He goes in, he missed a tackle, and they go down and score. But I didn't say a single word.
In the moments all leading up to before that, you understand?
Right, yeah. And I just got there to watch. I just got there. So it was not like I've had a chance to say anything. I'm just sitting there. And he's playing 2 years up. And I'm going to be honest. Like, the coach even told him, like, that last goal was your fault.
Nope.
And he pointed it out. And I don't know how to get into him because he's a very talented. I will always say, as of right now, he's above average for his age. Not playing 2 years up, but for his age, he's above average. He's played up for 3 years. And as a parent, I'm trying to figure out how to guide him because we're getting to the age where he will be cut if he doesn't put the energy in, or he will be benched. His end goal someday is to go pro, but I told him this year, we need to sit down.
Seasonal goal, short-term goal, long-term goal. You have to break it down.
And that's where I've been struggling.
Problem is that as a parent, and this is a problem with a lot of parents, I don't know that you can break this down for him. No offense, you did not play the game at the highest level. You're not a soccer expert. A trained professional should be doing that. I see all these posts in this soccer group about my player is struggling with consistency and this and that, and the coach this and the coach that. most coaches are not trained to coach the mental, emotional side of the player. I don't know why people expect this. I don't. It's like going to a mechanic and expecting to get a prescription for an earache. These are two separate things. They're separate. They do not just go together. Just because we coach the physical team with physical bodies does not mean that we are all trained to coach the mind of the player.
Right.
And work like that.
No. And I don't know where we've been talking. We just ordered Dan, I can't think of his name's book on mental. Yes.
Yes. We worked during the pandemic.
And so we literally just got delivered since we've been sitting here. And my wife ordered it from, what do you think? I go, I've read a lot about this guy. I think he's great what he's trying to do. But I'm to the point where as a parent, I realize like we all have our lanes. Like my job is to make him the best person.
Your job is to the practice and to pay the bill.
Right.
Your job to create a comfortable space for him to get into a car. And if he wants to cry, he can cry, get it over with and done. Where he can get in the car and be proud of himself. And you are that. I keep telling the parents, I'm already hard on them. I don't need you to be that person too. I am already absorbing that role. You need to be opposite of me. Everything harsh that I am, you have to be the softest landing spot without bashing me. Because now you create.
And that's, I think that's a problem where parents and it's, I have no problem with Landon being lectured or yelled at or being told he did something wrong. I honestly don't, because at the end of the day, that's the harsh real reality of this game. In 5 years from now, 6 years from now, if he ever has the chance to go play on a professional team here in the United States, coaches aren't, they don't sugarcoat it. They tell you exactly what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right. And that's the coach's job. And that's why you're talking about your journey and the competitiveness in you and the having the player come up and hit you from behind and you're not going to talk to him. I don't know how to teach my kid because he's, I would say, more on the feeling sides of things than but he's super competitive. You get him mad, he's going to level every player in front of him and score the goal that he needs to score. He got knocked down. This happened a couple of weeks ago. He kept on getting no calls being called. And he's looking at us. I'm like putting my hands on like, just calm down, do your job. Like all I'm telling him to do, because he's looking at us.
See?
And I'm like,
that's done.
And it's like,
they give zero feedback. You know why? To create no codependency.
And I don't know how to do that. It's like, I tell them, stop looking at us all the time. Like, I'm like, and now I'm like this. Like, I do that. I did that to him.
So psychologically, how I would break the behavior is when you think he's going to look at you, look away. And you will systematically break down the looking because he's never rewarded by making eye contact with you. So when you think he's going to look at you, look away.
And but he went out there and dribbled right down the right-hand side, probably about a 30-degree angle on the goal, outside the box for a 9v9 field, left-footed shot. He's right-footed, back left corner of the goal.
See, this is
a
problem for a lot of parents is that we don't acknowledge the level of codependency that we create within the player. And so as a coach, I can see it very easily. Psychologically, I can see it very easily because of my background. Now ask me how I coach my own kids. From the sideline, I do not sit quietly. I do not sit quietly. And every time me and my girlfriend roll to the goal, she's, don't you want to just enjoy the game? If you're talking to her the whole time, you're not even enjoying the game. You're literally coaching during the game. And I'm like, but she's not in the right spot. The coach didn't teach her to be in the right spot. So I'm just helping her be in the right spot so she can be more successful. And she's like, let her figure it out. Like, she'll figure it out. So I'm learning also as a highly competitive individual how also to be that person who shows up and just watches and doesn't say a word. With my olders, I can do better. They're older and they should know by now. But like with my six-year-old, with the beast mode that she has alive in her, I'm trying to help her out.
Right.
And she'll look at me and she'll be like, and I'm like, she's like, tackle. And I'm right. Like, come on. Tilt. Yeah. Although I can coach it in other people, I can goal set with other people. It, as a parent, is still hard for me. And if we don't roll into the games together, I have a good chance of being a wackadoo on the sideline, which then my girlfriend will wind up FaceTiming me and being like, let me see how you're behaving. And I'm like, really bad reception.
But that's the thing. That is, you nailed it right there. Like, for me, I'm going to have to approach my son's coach and ask him to sit down with him, because, or we do have a player that we know, and maybe he can sit down when he comes home this Christmas when he has a break, and maybe sit down with him and really lay out some goals for him. Because as a parent, I really wish
you knew somebody who did that in the industry.
I know. We can get there here in a minute. We'll talk about that here. But that's the thing. It is figuring this out. And as a parent, this is where the other half of this, where I really wanted you to come on, because as a parent, this is where I struggle. I suffer from depression, and I have dyslexia, and I'm ADHD. And my biggest fear is I'm going to project my issues and my wanting my son to be the best that he can be onto him. And he won't be the best he can be because of me as a parent. So I have failed because I have projected my own worrisomes onto him. And I know it sounds really weird, but years of therapy has taught me this. It's like you can project your own problems onto someone else and not even realize it.
Fulfilling prophecy. If you continue to exude those kinds of energies out into the universe, they will be picked up by people you're hoping they do not hit. And so what's interesting about the brain is it's highly trainable. It's highly trainable. And so a lot of people think, oh, athletes are just born with that grit. It can be coached. Some people are innately born with it. The Kobe's of the world, they're born with that kind of innate ability to just hunt and kill. But remember, Kobe sucked at 10. He didn't even score a single basket. So that's for another day. But it can be grown in a player as well, but it has to be done systematically with very clear measurements and specifics and plan of attack and all of that. So one of the nice things about my business is that we do keep data. And data can drive really promising results. However, they're also self-measured. So if you're not a person who has good self-awareness, your scores can be highly impacted. And so it's perpetually teaching people how to become more self-aware. And that's a large part of the program that I run is number one goal is to become self-aware. What things do I know about myself impact my gaming? Is it sweet? Is it food? Is it time of day? Is it position? All of these things can play a role in how I perform. And so if those variables change and I'm not tracking them, then I don't know if I can be consistent in this particular area. If all of my human needs are met, I've slept, I've eaten, I'm hydrated, then I should be able to be relatively consistent. But there's a lot of other variables that can happen: outside noise, length of field, turf versus grass. So all of my clients literally track every detail and they plot point them out onto a grass. And then I color code them and I show them, right now, you're all over the place. You have a great performance and then a not great performance and then a medium performance. And then, so let's go back and let's identify patterns that might be impacting your play. And then by controlling those, making people more aware, oh my gosh, I don't perform good in the morning. Okay, then what does that tell me? Maybe that tells me whatever time I'm waking up, I need to be up a whole hour earlier because now my body doesn't think it's super early morning anymore. If I become aware that my gaming is compromised at a certain time of day, I can actively work against that. Will I be perfect? Or close to, maybe not, but you'll be better than you were by being conscious of it. So that's what my business does, is working with players to identify what kinds of things can we manipulate and change, and how do we avoid those things that are not good for our gaming? How do we increase the pieces that are good for our gaming? How do we become the best version of ourselves consistently?
So where do you start with this? So let me rephrase this question. What age do you start with this? Because I know that I wouldn't take my 6-year-old daughter to you right now because she's just having fun. But my 10-year-old son, on the other hand, has been soccer minded since he's been, I say since he's been born. His first toy that he pushed around the house was a ball.
Mm-hmm.
The first word wasn't mom or dad. It was ball. Let me tell you how hurtful that is.
Because we're egocentric.
Because you're right. It wasn't dad. That was second or third word. I'm fine with that. But I always joke, he's going to be an athlete of some sort because mm-hmm. he's always pushed a ball around. Mm-hmm. And but looking at him as an individual, he's super competitive, but it is teaching him. I don't know where to start. And what age do you start? I have my opinion on this, but that's just because of my past and dealing with depression. I think therapy and, like you said, goal setting and teaching mindset is so important. I think mindfulness, that's a whole nother topic. I actually spent hours talking about it. And what age do you start? And that might be the better place for greatness.
First of all, you have to look at what this business is. It's virtually based. So
right.
It's not really age specific. It's more personality based. Can your child interact in this kind of setting for 30 minutes and maximize that time? I have noticed that my clients who are under 12 require a parent to be present for every meeting. Sometimes they don't understand certain questions. Sometimes their gauge is a little off and they're reporting something the parent's like, no, that's definitely not accurate. Not at all. Not the performance that they're talking about. And developmentally, that's appropriate. Is that
right.
We don't always have the clearest vision of ourselves in those younger ages. In and around 12 or 13, when we become so self-conscious, we also become a little bit more self-aware sometimes. And so that age I have found to be the sweet spot. When should you approach it? That way it's in practice for 3 or 4 years when they're going through this whole adolescent thing. But the kids that I love the most are 15. Those are the kids that, like, they don't like any adult outside of me. And I have a 15-year-old and I'm not her favorite person. It's an interesting dynamic. No, I'm serious. Like, she lives in my house.
No, I get it.
Actively avoids me. Yet I have clients who fly in from other states, give up their free time to be here with me. It's an odd thing. But I think it's more like competitive-based, personality-based. Like, I've had clients who just soar through the roof in this program and other ones who stagnate and just don't make any growth at all. And I frequently have to look at the traits that make certain people in this industry more successful in this business than others. What was it about this kid that made her immediately successful in my program versus this kid who took a whole year to get there? We're all different people. Does it matter how quickly they achieve the goal? Is that part of it? Because I've had boys come into the program since I was strictly girl-based, and I do notice that the boys tend to move slower, but steadier. The girls seem to make quick, rapid changes if they're going to make any changes at all. But the boys tend to go slow and steady, which I've noticed a lot of their parents don't have the patience for. They want immediate results. And when they can't get the immediate result, I don't even know if this program is working. It has promoted over 75 of its athletes into exactly where they wanted to be. Most of that is higher level.
So I think I have a different approach to therapy or mental toughness and mental coaching because I've lived it. Like having issues with depression, you don't get breakthroughs sometimes for 6 months to a year on one silly little thing that goes on in your mind. And parents need to understand, like, you don't see the instant results. There's no such thing. I've heard soccer is not a sprint. It's a marathon. I think when it comes to overcoming mental challenges, I may have my mind's based on a different angle of it, yeah. But a mental health. But it's the same way. You have quick leaps and bounds with certain topics, then all of a sudden you hit this roadblock and you're stuck, like you were talking about. 15 is your favorite age group. Is that because they actually are, quote, maturing and understanding more and more of what's going on around them? Or is it just because they're more fun at that age because they're becoming themselves? I feel like 13, 14 years old, kids start, like you said, are more self-aware. And 15, they're starting to realize who they are as individuals. And then you can help. It's easier to help someone when they're more conscious of who they are.
Let's be real. Maybe it's just the kid in me. Maybe it's not that complex. I don't know. Maybe it's that kid in me. I don't know. I have an easy time relating to that age range. And I just tend, I have a lot of 15-year-old female clients. And that is my go-to usually. I have some 10-year-olds, some 12-year-olds. And the way that my program works is not meant to be long term. It's meant for me to step in and show you the way, and then you take over your own programming, and then you check in and have maintenance thereafter. I also understand that this industry can be very tricky in that there are people in the industry who charge thousands of dollars but don't want to share what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. And I just think that's crazy. I think that's nuts. I have a system that I created on my own. Everything is on me based. So I do an intake just like you would do a health screening at your doctor's office. I do the same thing. I do a soccer screening that asks every relative question to how you got to where you're at, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of those things. And there's a medical portion in there because I've had simple things happen with players. Are you even medically, your body
right.
And everything intact with that body has to be at 100% in order for us to expect 100% out of this person. And so if you've never had your eyes examined and you're having timing issues, this could be a very simple fix with glasses. Super simple. This has happened more than one time to me where I get a client and I'm like, can I ask you something? Have you ever had your eyes examined? Nope. And I'm like, and so what you're describing to me based on the timing seems like it's not physical thing, like your body is not feeling it. It's not motor planning issues. Seems like perhaps your perception and what you're seeing out of your actual eyeballs might be the problem. Oh, yep. Turns out I need glasses. Boom, has it down. Excuse me. So there's that, the intake. And then there's a goal plan where I diagram an outline to them. This is how we're going to get you from A to Z, step by step, but you can't skip anything. You will not skip. And if you skip, we go back to that before we go ahead. And then we take measurements and we compare those measurements. And there's a lot of other things in the program, but I am always happy to get on a free consult with people, show them how the program works, show them previous results and what's gone on with other clients, and then go from there. I'm also highly selective about who I bring into my program because I'm limited time. I cannot take on a maybe client. I have to be pretty sure that this person really wants to be in the program is going to do the work.
So you don't take on any don't take on maybes. So what is a normal program like? So do you meet weekly? Do you meet bi-weekly? Do you meet monthly? And I know that you called it maintenance. There's the one I was looking for. That sometimes like once a month, once every so many months.
3 years plus. And it sucks.
What was that?
I've had the same clients for over 3 years.
And there's nothing.
So getting
I don't see anything.
This program is a bit challenging because there's just not enough slots. But
right.
Well, the typical client comes in and meets every single week until their stability. Just like regular therapy. You meet once a week, every week, until you graduate into maybe every other week, once a month type thing. And so the average would be a minimum of 8 weeks. You're rewiring your brain. Those things.
Right. It takes time.
They take time. So I would say a minimum of 8 weeks. A lot of clients see change within 2 weeks of just opening the mind up and going, oh, I need to be more aware of that. A player almost instantaneously can make a change. Almost instantaneously. So they meet weekly. It's only a 30-minute window. And then once they graduate into more consistency, more self-awareness, more ability to manipulate their own gaming on their own, really without my consistent help and advice, they'll go every other week. Then they'll go down to 1 month and then as needed.
That sounds just like therapy. But I this is the side of the game that as a parent, I worry about because you see kids that are just getting berated after games and by parents. And then I've tried very hard before. If I'm going to have a conversation with my son about something I see, I do it before we get in the car. So we can talk about whatever he wants in the car, and whatever happened, we leave it there. And that was something that I no longer have to do. And him and I will just sit there and talk. And I'll ask him what he wants to talk about now when he gets in the car. And he wants to listen to a soccer podcast, not mine. He wants to, but he wants to listen to other ones. And so about world soccer, not just stuff going on here in the right. United States or locally. And or he wants to listen to his whatever favorite rapper at the moment is at the time and listen to music. And it's hard as a parent. And I think this is where we as parents need to take the step back. And I think this is the learning curve. If we really want to change the outcome for our players, it's taking the step back and listening to what you're talking about, where it's changing the mindset. And I'm hung up, but I'm sorry. This is where the H and ADHD comes from. The hyper-focus of what you talked about was, as parents, like how we get fixated on their performance. And you talked about your mom not saying a single thing. And I think this is maybe guilt, underlining guilt right now I'm having with it all, because as a parent, I have to learn that. And then if you're involved in this, how do you work with the parents? Because a parent can sabotage everything you're doing within that 30 minutes.
I usually wind up becoming the part-time therapist to the parent too. That's usually okay. How it is. I have a great relationship with all of my clients and all of their families. And see, the thing of it is, yeah, I could charge thousands of dollars because that would really make it worth the amount of time that I spend with these folks, but also the regular human beings. And sometimes it helps to know somebody in the industry who's invested in you and your kid and will go out on a limb and spend 5, 10, 20 minutes here or there really talking you off the ledge, explaining why, helping you understand and see things from a different perspective. I have the 30 minutes a week, but I counsel parents on the side of that. If I have to bill extra because it's consistent, then I will do that. But here and there, I don't mind. Most of the parents will wind up texting me and be like, do you have a second? And I'm like, it depends on what it is. Were you like super off what the game or what? That's not going to be no 1 second conversation. This industry, this side of the game, very different, very unique. I haven't seen too many people really be in it and in it on the same level as me, right? So I've played this game and I only mentor soccer players. I don't do any other sport. So I don't know how many people in the industry actually have the soccer background with the psych background. I think that's what's really unique about what I do.
It is, because I've run across two of you. And I've probably talked to about 3,000 coaches now in the last 2 years. Like making contacts, having conversations. And most of them don't even play soccer anymore. They're just, their day job of being a therapist has taken over because they are seeing more, and that's more important than coaching as an individual. That was their day job and they coached in the evening, a lot of them. And I can really tell you who they are. And it just blows my mind at the lack of this in all sports, not just soccer, but all sports. And so you go through this, you go do your goal setting. I am bouncing all over the place because I am trying to figure out where to go, because there's so many different things you can do with this, because you help the parents. Let's go back. You help the parents navigate with their kids. So when you sit down with the kids, you say you start with goals, you start figuring out where they're at with the metrics. Are these metrics something that the parents are given on top of this, or is this something that, I want to say it's not confidential, but, or do you share it with the parents in a different meeting setting so they understand what's going on, especially when they aren't sitting in the room with the player anymore?
It's client dependent. So it depends on if the parent is putting the kid in and saying, this is your and their program, let me know what you need or want from me. Some parents do that. Some parents come in and they want access to every single thing. And I always say, look, you should check with the kid, see what the kid wants. Do they want you involved or do they not want you involved? That's what I do. If they don't want the parent involved, then my job, and the parent has to agree because it's a minor, my job is to teach the parent like how to let them have this independence. And if I really am going to help this child in a way that obviously they cannot, we need to be able to build and bridge a connection that is just ours. And I can tell you the things that they're working on and the ways that you can support that, but let them be the ones to share this information with you. It should really not be me. I'm just the go-between, right. And then eventually I'm going to pull myself out and let them have this cohesive connection. And a lot of that means having separate conversations with the parents on the side and explaining, as much as you think your role is to do this and this, your role is really to do this, nothing. Don't say anything. I say that more times than not, like, your role is to do nothing. Just make sure that they get there early on time. Encourage good food choices, but don't harp on it. Let these kids figure it out. Let them figure it out.
And I think as parents, and you, I don't know how you are, but as a parent, it's hard to do that sometimes. It's because I don't like my kids to have failure. I know it's so important. I'll let them fail over and get in certain things, but certain areas I struggle with. And that's the thing. This is one area that I feel like if you have the support, like yourself with gritness, I'm like, sure, I got it right this time. It's very helpful to have parents understand. I think like you said, you were super competitive then going through everything, and your pathway to where you're at today has really allowed you to see this with the background training differently than I'll probably say 99.9% of coaches out there. And even as parents, like, we still don't get it because we don't, unless you were a super athlete, like a Kobe Bryant yourself, or any of these other athletes, like, how do you back up to the parents saying, look, you have support. That's me. Now here is your role. Do you give them information on how to be supportive? Because my interpretation of support might be different than what they actually need. And like you said, it's a learning curve for parents to understand what their role is. Like you said, you had a mom that was quiet and it was awesome.
Yeah. I just ask for honesty and transparency. How were you really? Tell me everything. Let me tell you what was good about that. Let me tell you what maybe needs to be tweaked about that. I think that when you build interpersonal relationships with people, they'll work really hard for you. If they know that I'm really invested, they'll do just about anything I ask, and I'll never ask them to do something that I'm unsure of. So everybody's different. There really is no, this is the one way to do it for these athletes or these kids. Some parents have the right idea and they're pushing in all the right ways, and they don't need to change anything that they're doing. They just need to get their kids some extra support and that's it. Other parents need to be reminded and told that they're not the coach of the team or their player, to let those people who they've paid to do their jobs. I always tell people, I don't show up at your job telling you what to, don't show up at mine telling you what to do. Trust that I am well-versed in this and that I have your best interest at heart. And then we can work together to figure out what's working and what's not working in this dynamic. So I have been very lucky in that I've met so many great families, parents who don't always do the right thing, but are interested to know, how do they do the right thing? What is the right thing in this scenario? And then I've met some other families where I'm like, I'm not going to take this client. I can see and tell that this dynamic is not going to change, and it's going to be way too much.
So when you're in docking clients and families, do you gather information from both the player and the parents, or do you have a formal conversation with them?
I just study the behavior of the parent. That's it.
That's awesome.
By studying the behavior of the parent, I can tell more or less how the kid is going to be. That's the environment that they're raised in, right? And although we're all unique individuals, I listen to what questions the parents ask. I'll make certain commentary and see what their response is going to be based on that. And so I have keywords noted in my bank. And when they hit certain keywords, I'm like, this person is not going to ever be a client of mine.
Gotcha. Now, how do I describe this? I think as a parent, we would be, many parents' egos will be hit hard when they're denied access to something that could help their players. And you talked about it earlier. It was the parent ego with the coach. I can't remember exactly. I don't have it written down because I was looking something, going through my notes, looking it up, and I shouldn't have been. But you made a comment and it struck. So you talked about, how did I phrase this? Sorry. And then go back to this, the benchmark for these players. So how do you determine where each player's benchmark will be? Is it based? I know it's every individual is very unique and very different, and there will never be two athletes' benchmarks that are the same. But do you actually go through a process of figuring out a 3-week timetable, or do you figure out long term then reverse plan it for them to a degree?
I mean, I usually take a baseline the first couple of weeks. Just give me the data that you have. We're not doing anything with the data. I'm just tracking it. I need a baseline to work off of first. That will determine then how I'm going to build a benchmark forward. Because if I build the benchmark before I have the baseline, I might have to do a lot of changes. And all those changes, it can feel very overwhelming to an athlete. So I'll take a baseline first and build my benchmark off the baseline.
So as you build, once you have the baseline and the benchmark, like you said, you've had some clients for a while, and some people say that's not a great thing. To me, that means you're doing something right because they keep on coming back because they're learning something. So as they have been progressing, do you see through a maintenance process? So they're, let's say they've been with you for 8 months now, and they're in a 3-month maintenance check, or that probably won't be right. 2-month maintenance check might be more accurate, whatever it may be. Do you find, if they hit something, will you say, do you mind taking, let's take a step back and go back to bi-weekly or weekly to help them overcome whatever obstacles in their way because they need more? Or do you try to see if you can do another longer wait time in between? Or do you leave that up to the parent and client?
I haven't had that experience. I have worked with clients so consistently and built the program into their minds so that they're essentially able to run my program from their own mind. They're only checking in with me to see if they're on the right track. Most of the athletes that I coach do not go into relapse, is what we would call it. They don't have this spiral fallout situation because of the systematic way that we do things. You could always know to go back to this point on your own. You could literally access all your own information and go, I'll just restart from here, and then I'll just check with Lindsay to see if this is the right thing. They could come back for, here's the thing, growth is, it should be like eternal, right? So just because they've grown in one direction doesn't necessarily mean that they've grown in another or another. And there's many different ways to grow in this game, competitively, result-wise, positionally, you could grow in a lot of different directions. So if they come back, it's not like maybe there's something that didn't work, or maybe they're coming back because now they're doing injury instead or whatever.
Right.
If they come back, it's a whole new baseline from wherever they're at in this moment to how we need to get moving forward. Again, the clients that I've had for 3 years, they're not all weekly. One is just maintenance. The other one's working on a recruiting platform. The other one is also working on a recruiting platform. Another one is also as needed. So she just checks in periodically. But most of the kids who have been here forever, they're not on weekly programs anymore. A lot of them are as needed.
I think that's important for parents to hear, because a lot of times, just like anything else, parents think it's a never-ending cycle. But
we're contractually used to end. They can cancel me and I can cancel them as long as we give a set amount of notice. And my program doesn't require you to be in it for a year or 3 months or 6 months or 7 months. You paid for your intake and your enroll plan. You're allowed to have it after that. If you want to try and run and manage it on your own, that's fine. You won't be able to do what I do without me. That there's that limit too.
And I think parents need to understand that it's the success of their player off the pitch. And I think this is where listening to your story, listening to what you're offering with Gritness, is not just setting them up for success on the pitch. I think we focus so much for them to have success on the pitch. From the sounds of it, you're also teaching them how to be successful in college through the sport. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but if you teach them how to build off a foundation and teach them how to build goals and be focused, they're going to be successful beyond the pitch.
Sure.
And am I going the wrong direction here with this? Or do you, I don't know how old your clientele has been or are, but do you see that if they're going into college or trying to get into college, or if you had them in their freshman year and now they're seniors in high school, do you see that growth through with them that they may have their life a little bit more put together than they might have not have been, or they're more focused on their goals and their dreams because they've had that foundation that you've helped build?
It's really just teaching emotional intelligence, and then they're growing their own EQ from there and checking in to see if they're on the right track or not. I have seen so many people achieve so many great things through this program. One being Scarlett Camberos, who was rejected from the NWSL draft and is now one of the most efficient players in the NWSL and now is on her Mexican national team. That was her end goal, her end game. How did it start? Not there. Where is she at now? She's got gritness in her mind all the time. She's consistently exploring and imploring those skills all the time. We barely high performer. So I think when you teach people the skill, like riding a bike, even though you don't ride the bike for 2 years, you get on it and then you're like, how does this go again? Oh, okay, I got it. It's the same kind of thing. If, in fact, you were able to set down the right foundation for it, if you can set it down and be consistent in that front end part, usually you don't need a whole lot on the back end part.
As you're building these players up, do you actually physically see the light bulb go off in their minds and having them have the aha moment, as I like to call it, whatever they're struggling with at the moment, and then as they overcome that, the next goal or the next achievement that you're doing with them, creating that grit in them, do you see those moments more and more? And then when you have your maintenance sessions, do you see the excitement that you have built with them come through?
It's very cool to watch.
I maybe parents might not understand that, but it is I saw as a coach for the year and a half I coached, the aha moments as a coach doing something technically, but the mental side of the game, I don't know. I never got to see that because I was dealing with six-year-olds. I'm not in that realm. But I was just curious because as a parent, that is something that I think is important for parents to understand, that there are aha moments in those moments too. And I don't think we get to those moments. Now, through this course, do you help with mental toughness or mental awareness on how to handle the grit? I guess that's, you're calling it grit. I might call it mental toughness. How do you see that growing through this process? Do you see them understanding what the grit is, the grind, and being stronger mentally, not just physically, and how they're able to overcome things, like the aha moment we were just talking about?
You'll see them start to reframe their own common statement. The things that they were seeking direction in, you'll see them be able to start reframing some of those items on their own. That's one of the major pillars to seeing movement here, is how much do they become accountable, aware, conscious of some of the things that are taking place. Where they lean in for me to break everything down, you'll start to see them chip away at, or maybe it was from this. And then when they jump on the maybe it was this, then the floodgates start to open. That brings me to this and then this. You'll see that kind of behavior. And there's a lot of different little movements that you'll see based upon what it was that they were working on. More accountability, like, he told me this, and normally I would have thought this or felt this, but then I thought maybe they meant it. So a lot of reframing and stuff will start to happen. Reframing is like a big part of the program, is learning that sometimes it's not necessarily something was said, but what was actually said. If I could remove the tongue, what was the instruction? And is that instruction to make me better or worse or whatever? And even if the intent is to make me worse, how am I responsible for turning it into something self-motivating and productive for myself?
I like that. I'm going to ask my favorite question, and it's a two-parter because is there anything you'd like to say to parents, particularly around this topic, or share with them? And then I'll ask my favorite question.
I would just say that, to be fair to the industry, coaches are meant to coach a team. And it's okay to do individual training And I encourage that. And I think that's something that players have to target on their own in order to come into the team and then be successful. But we're regular, everyday people. And most of us do this for the love of the game. Very few of us do it as an income. But if there is something that is not working for you or bothering you or whatever, I would approach it in the most, you know, friendly way. Hey, I noticed this. I noticed that you consistently giving Jeremiah feedback, like during the game, and it seems to be directed only to him. How can I support you so that he is able to do those things? That's very different from, I noticed that you're harping on my kid all the time, targeting them, and you're breaking his spirit. It's a very different conversation. You have no idea what kind of day your coach has had. You have no idea but the message that he may be trying to build in your play. You don't know because you didn't ask. Now, you don't want to consistently be asking, but more recognizing a pattern. It's been 5 games and my kid has gotten decreased time over 5 games. Hit somebody up after one time. Seriously, that is like the biggest annoyance for me is I change something up one time and I get 40 text messages. I'm like, what about the 45 other times? If you're harping on the one time, what about the 45 other times? So I would just say, have grace. Try to be coachable as an individual, as a parent. Do the best that you can to go into the situation and support it. And then in the end, if it doesn't work out, you don't ever have to coulda, shoulda, woulda. What if I would have been more positive about the coach? What if I could have done more? What if I should have behaved like this? No, go into it the same way you're asking your athlete to go into it. Being coachable, being positive, working your hardest, doing all those things. That way, if it doesn't work out, you don't have to feel bad at all about it. And that's how I approach every single kind of relationship that I have, every scenario that I have. I'm going to go into it 100%. I'm going to be the best animal parent I can be before I ever say, this animal does not suit my home. I'm going to be the best soccer coach that I can be before I ever say, this athlete isn't going to fit kind of my system and the way that I'm doing things. And so if as a parent, I go into it and I go, I'm going to be the best parent that I can be. This is my baseline. I scream 40 times a game. I'm going to try and take that down to 35 by next week. And I'm going to try and take it down to 30 by the next week. You're always aiming for progress, not perfection.
Thank you.
Next, two more questions. This last one is pertaining to your bit. How can people find you and get a hold of you?
Oh, that's a tricky thing. I used to have a website. I took it down. I'm like more referral-based since I'm so picky. So I'm on the Soccer Parent Lifestyle page, yes. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Insta. People will message me there. One thing I don't do, I will never chase a single client. So if you inquire with me and we set up a consult and I consult with you, I won't chase you or contact you again. That's
right.
Part of how I build my clientele is that you have to want to be in this program. You have to have the time to be able to do it. And so I'm not going to follow up with you and say, oh, hey, and just following up to see if you've had time to, no. If we're doing this, you have consulted with me, you know exactly what I offer, you have already talked to your kid, y'all are on the same page, we meet. So I'm easy to find. I do a lot of my own background and research on whether or not I want to engage.
No, as you should. It's time is money. I'm not sure I say time is money, but time is help. And time is the one value that we don't get back in life. So I completely understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So
at a person's Facebook, I'll look at a person's Instagram if it's public. I'll read through. And so if you don't hear back from me at all, it could be because there's something I didn't like to see.
I love that. Nothing wrong with that. I like that. So this is my favorite question to ask. So you as a player, who has been your greatest influence on you? And I'm going to actually break this down to a 3-part because you actually have 3 parts of this for me. Who is the greatest influence as you player? So it could be a family member, a coach, whoever it may be. You as a coach, we really didn't get much into that. But you as a coach, who's the greatest influence on you as a coach? And for the gritness side, Who has been the greatest influence for you there?
As a player, it would definitely have been my college coach that I had mentioned who passed. So Clyde Charles was this amazing person, coach, father, husband. He was just an amazing human being. So he definitely crafted my journey. And then I would say as a coach, my coach from when I was younger had crafted a lot of that kind of younger coach in me. I actually became friends before he passed with Tony DiCicco, who coached our 1999 Women's World Cup team.
Okay.
And so what I've tried to do is surround myself with people way more successful than me so I can borrow their ideas instead of reinventing the wheel. Jill Ellis was another person. She was my youth national team coach. I have not had many interactions with her since. And I know it's interesting. Everybody now has something to say about people in the industry. Some people loved her. Some people didn't. I had a great experience. And I look at the success that she built both at UCLA and within the national team and think that there's a lot to learn from that. And then I would say as a business person, I learn a lot of things from parents. I learn a lot of things about how to get better in this business from the parents that I serve, what worked for them, what they felt could have been better. And I'm very open to that because I want to keep evolving all of the time. So I'm a person who seeks frequent feedback.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. With this two-part series closing up, I truly have a lot of respect for Lindsay and what she's trying to do in this beautiful game that we all love watching our players play and do their activities in. If you're looking for more information, I have it all listed in the show notes of how to find her. And I hope you guys listen to what she has to say and take it to heart and let your players know the valuable information that's in these two episodes. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.